and perfect will in our life. Hallelujah. We are either in the will of God or we are out of the will of God. We have either found something that is good or we have found something that's not good. We've either found something acceptable or something that's unacceptable. Amen. We have either found that is perfect or that is imperfect. Anything that's imperfect is not perfect. Isn't that a logical conclusion? That I believe that the will of God, amen, is something that God designed. And God did not design anything to be less than perfect. The Bible says that when God created the universe, when he created the heavens and the earth, that he said that it was good. Amen. There was no imperfections in the things of God. Imperfection was introduced later because of the sin of man. Because man chose to seek out his own will rather than to do the will of God. He ignored the clear commandment of God. And he began to reason within himself. And he chose to go against that was clearly enunciated, clearly spoken to him in the garden. Thou shalt not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. From the day that you eat thereof, ye shall surely die. And before man failed to keep the law of God, the word of God, the commandment of God, all was perfect in God's creation. Amen, that everything that God made, he was pleased with it. And he said, it's good. And on the sixth day when God created man and woman, he said, it's very good. Amen. You know, it's amazing that man, who was created in the image of God, in the likeness of God, has been the most disappointing creation that God made. That man and his rebellion brought catastrophe and judgment upon all of God's creation. It wasn't the animal world that sinned. It wasn't the vegetable world that sinned. But it was the highest creation of God, amen, that fell short of God's expectation. Because they did not embrace the word of the Lord. I want you to know tonight that it is the will of God for you to be in his will. It is the will of God for you to know his will and his direction for your life. He did not set you adrift in the world to go this way and that way, to have no certain destination. But the church of the living God has been given, amen, a task. We have been given a commandment. We have been given direction. And I want you to know that all direction begins at the altar of God. You're going to find the will of God. You're not going to find the will of God in a book. You're not going to find it in a hypothesis. You're not going to find it in some kind of philosophical debate. But if you find the will of God, you'll find direction at the altar. You'll find direction, amen, from the direct intervention of the Holy Spirit. The Bible says that as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. Amen. If you're being led of God, amen, then you're walking where God wants you to walk. If you're walking in the Spirit, amen, you're not going to fulfill the lust of the flesh. Come on now. If you're walking, amen, according to the will of the Spirit and by the direction of the Spirit, amen, you are doing what God has called you to do. Amen. The Bible says Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness. And in the wilderness, the Bible says that he fasted for 40 days and nights. That he went without food and without drink. And afterward, he was tempted of the devil. I want you to know that when you're in the will of God, you're going to face opposition. When you're in the will of God, there are going to be obstacles in your path that are going to try to detract you and to cause you to stumble. But don't you back down. Don't you back up. Don't you give in to the enemy. Because if you're in the will of God, you will go forth in victory and not in defeat. Can you say praise the Lord? Finding the will of God is not convincing God. Conform to my way of thinking. You know, a lot of people think that finding the will of God is when God finally comes around, amen, to giving them exactly what they desire. They've got some kind of a fantasy that they have conjured up in their own mind, and they want God to come around to their way of thinking. Amen. And to them, that is finding the will of God. Finding the will of God is not changing God to conform to your idea. Amen. But finding the will of God is allowing God to reshape you. Amen. To remold you. To remake you. Amen. To transform you. Amen. So that your way of thinking, amen, will be in line with the plan and the purpose of Almighty God. Oh, hallelujah. The Bible tells us, amen, and do not be conformed to this world. It is never the will of God for you to look like the world, act like the world, amen, love the things of this world, amen. But it's the will of God for you to be a holy and a separated people. If you want to know what the will of God is, he said, I would that you be holy, even as my Father in heaven is holy. That's the will of God. Amen. Hallelujah. The will of God, amen, is to reshape the way we think. We need to change the way that we look at people in the world. We need to change our attitudes and our spirit if we're going to find the will of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Because the way I think, amen, the way that I look at the world, it's not necessarily the way that God wants me to think and the way that God wants me to look at the world. That's why the Bible admonishes us, do not be conformed to this world. Don't think like the world. Don't act like the world. Amen. But be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Amen. God needs to change the way we think about one another. God needs to change the way we think about ourselves. The Bible says in verse 3, amen, who is among you? Amen, whoever it is among you, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think. When we begin to think that we're something or somebody, we're not thinking like God would have us to think. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Finding the will of God is not hard. Amen. It just goes against the grain. When we find the will of God, it's usually not, amen, the way that we would choose to go. Most of the time, amen, the way we think is not the way that God would have us to think. The most of the time, the way that we desire to walk is not the way God would have us to walk. Amen. I'm talking about finding the will of God. You see, it's not that finding the will of God is so mysterious or so ethereal that we can't get a hold of it. It's so real and it's so mundane that nobody wants to walk in it. Amen. Well, because when it comes right down to it, walking in the will of God, amen, is walking, amen, among men, amen, and loving like Jesus loved and ministering as Jesus ministered. It's not that we cannot find the will of God, is that we don't desire the will of God. We know a whole lot more about walking in the will of God, amen, than what we're willing to do. Hallelujah. Amen. We need, amen, to say, God, I want you, Lord, to change me. Lord, I want you to get a hold of me. I want you to remake me over again, because I know that your ways are above my ways. And your thoughts are above my thoughts as the heavens are above the earth. Amen. I can't touch God. Amen. I can't get anywhere close to being like God. Amen. But God desires that we search after Him, that we strive to be like Him. Amen. That we try to perfect, amen, ourselves, that we might reflect His image and His glory and His love. Can you say praise the Lord? One thing that I noticed as I began to study, searching and finding the will of God, that the revelation of God's will, amen, was promised to those who were willing to commit themselves to the high calling, amen, to which God had called them. God has called us. Amen. God has called us to be saints. Amen. Before we're anything else, preacher, pastor, evangelist, missionary, Bible teacher, amen, before you're anything else, you're called to be a saint. If you can't be a good saint, then God forbid that you would stand in a pulpit and minister God's word, amen, and ask for God's anointing. If you cannot be a Christian, amen, on Monday, then don't try, amen, to be a teacher on Sunday. Come on now. God wants to reveal His will. But first we've got to make a commitment. Revelation, amen. Revelation is something that God wants to give us. Revelation of His divine will is something that God will give us. But if God is going to open our eyes, and God is going to pour into our hearts what He desires to pour into us, we must first commit ourselves and empty ourselves of our ego, to empty ourselves of our pride, to empty ourselves of our self-centeredness, to empty ourselves of our complacency. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. It's not a coincidence that the apostle writes concerning the will of God, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. God is looking for people that will commit themselves into His hands. Amen. God never promised us any particular outcome. God didn't promise, amen, the three Hebrew children that they were going to be delivered out of the fiery furnace. God never promised Daniel that he would be delivered out of the lion's den. Come on now. God never promised Peter that he would be delivered out of the innermost part of the prison. But nevertheless, they would not compromise. I want you to know what the will of God is in your life. It's a life that refuses to compromise the truth, that refuses to compromise, amen, the word of God, and refuses to compromise holiness and righteousness, amen, that is the will of God concerning his people. He said that we are to present ourselves, to present your body, a living sacrifice. God's not looking for the sacrifice of blood of bulls and goats and lambs and turtle doves. But God wants us to sacrifice, amen, our life. He wants us to give our all for the cause of the kingdom of God. We've got to become a living sacrifice. Amen. Until Abraham was willing to sacrifice his most precious possession, he was not worthy to inherit the promises of God. God asked Abraham to commit the most precious thing in his life, his only son, Isaac, whom God had given him by a miraculous intervention. If Abraham had failed in giving up the offering up the sacrifice, then God would not have been, amen, obligated to honor the covenant that he made with Abraham. Come on now. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. God would not have been obligated to Abraham if he had not willing to first to commit, amen, to that God had called him to do. Amen. If God has called you to be a Christian, if he's called you to be a saint, before God, amen, opens up any other areas of opportunity or doors in your life, you need to learn, amen, to be a saint of God, to be a Christian above all else. Amen. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Amen. And all these other things will be added unto you. If you want God to bless you, amen, with greater blessings and greater gifts and greater responsibilities, then for God's sake, be responsible in the things that God has already committed into your trust. Why should God commit to you, amen, spiritual things when you don't honor him with your material things? If you can't be faithful to God in the unrighteous mammon, then why should God, amen, commit unto you, amen, the eternal riches of the kingdom of God? Amen. If you can't handle a dollar, amen, you sure can't handle $100,000. The Bible says, unto whom much is given, much is required. But it wasn't the 5-talent man, amen, that stumbled and failed. It wasn't the 2-talent man, amen, that came up short in the eyes of the Lord. But it was that man who had been given the 1 talent. Amen. I'm afraid there's more 1-talent people in God's kingdom than there is any other kind. We're not all going to be 5-talent people. We're not all going to be 2-talent people. But if you're a 1-talent person, hallelujah, you be the best 1-talent person, amen, that God ever called, amen, because if you're faithful in a little, God said that he would make you ruler over much. The only way that you're going to find your vision and your blessing to increase, if you are willing to walk in the path that God has already laid out in your life. Hallelujah. If you're not already doing the things God asked you to do, why should God ask you to do something else? I found out that if you want something done, ask somebody that's already doing something. Amen. Somebody that's sitting on their brains never does arise to the occasion. Amen. When something needs to be done. Hallelujah. But when God calls men, he calls men, amen, that are willing to commit. That are willing, amen, to give it to, amen, everything that they've got. Amen. David said, I'm not much, amen, but I know that the God that I serve is more than able, amen, to deliver this uncircumcised Philistine into my hands. Amen. David was just a little one talent man and just a little shepherd boy. Amen. But that's all that God needed. God wasn't looking for a Hercules. God wasn't looking for a Samson. Amen. But God found a little shepherd boy that was willing to commit. Amen. Man, commit himself into the service of God with a slingshot. Amen. Hallelujah. Against a giant. Amen. With that had, amen, a man who was carrying his shield. Yes. He had a sword and a shield and a spear like a weaver's beam. And when he roared, all the camp of Israel trembled. Amen. But David said, I don't have much, but what I have, I've already proven it unto the Lord. God may have only given you, amen, something little, but if you are proving it, if you're using it for the glory of God, that's all God needs to bring a miracle. That's all God needs to bring down the giant, because God is just looking for people that are willing to commit. God didn't tell David he was going to defeat the giant. God didn't tell David, you'll be all right, son. Amen. David said, is there not a cause? I want you to know, if you haven't fallen in love with the cause of Jesus Christ, amen, your talents are going to perish with you. If you don't recognize the need of the hour, that God is looking for men, God is looking for women that will stand up and stand for the truth, that stand up in the gap, in the time of need, and will cry out for mercy, cry out for God to send revival. God just looking for somebody to say, I'm available. God, will you use me? Yeah. Hallelujah. Amen. God didn't need a charismatic preacher, amen, to bring, amen, a healing revival. Amen. He didn't need some charismatic preacher with a sign, amen, that promises a miracle an hour, your money back. He didn't need any of that. Hallelujah. He just needed a little Israelite girl, amen, that had faith in God. She said, there's a prophet in Israel. Hallelujah. There's a prophet in Israel. Amen. Amen. That knows how to get a hold of God. And my master, Naaman, he can be healed of this leprosy if he'll just go to the God, hallelujah, that I know. All he needs is someone to make themselves available. You're looking for the will of God. You've already found it. Whatever you find to do, do it with all your might and with all your heart. Amen. Praise God. Amen. God knows where to place each of us in the kingdom. We act sometimes like God didn't have enough sense, amen, to come in out of the rain. Because we think God's got everything topsy-turvy. We think that if we're not the one leading the band, and the band ought not play. Hello? Hello? Praise God. Amen. I want you to know that God, amen, knows exactly what he's doing. And the Bible tells us, amen, that if we will give him our little, amen, that God will able to increase it. Little is much when God is in it. Amen. God is not looking, amen, for someone that's great in their own eyes, but God is looking for someone that will have a servant's heart. He said, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to think if you want to find the will of God. Amen. If you think that you're God's gift to this generation, amen, good luck on finding the will of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. God did not reveal to Abraham where he was going until he was willing to go. Amen. Some of us, we want to know, what's in it for me? What is the reward? God didn't promise us, amen, that it would be easy. But it will be, amen, fulfilling. God did not show Abraham the land that he would give to him and to his posterity until after Abraham was willing to go. God's looking for people, amen, that are willing to make themselves available. Availability is a very, very, I think the fat sermon, amen, it summed it up rather well. God's looking for faithful men, available men, and teachable men. And that goes for women too. Amen. I have met more people in my life, amen, that you could not teach, that you could not lead, because they already knew all the answers. Hallelujah. Amen. I want you to know that God doesn't require you to have all the answers. And sometimes, amen, I'm not even sure what the question is. But I do know one thing. I know who called me. I know who said he would go with me to the end of the world. He doesn't have to guarantee to me the outcome, Brother Neil, for me to step out on faith. If God said do it, I'm going to do it. Amen. If God said lay hands on someone, I'm going to lay hands. Hallelujah. If God says to tell somebody to rise, amen, take up your bed and walk. Amen. I'm just foolish enough to hear the voice of God and to act on faith, because God is the one that is in charge of the results. All God requires of us is obedience. Hallelujah. The disciples didn't do nothing spectacular. Jesus said, what are we going to do about feeding these people? Andrew said, well, here's a little boy with the sack lunch. 5 loaves and 2 little fish. Jesus said, bring it to me. You know, God don't need much. Hallelujah. I'm sure glad he don't need much, because I ain't much. Hallelujah. Well, I get excited when I think about what God can do. Hallelujah. Brother Everett, if God can do that with a sack lunch, hallelujah, I want you to know that God can do a whole lot more. Hallelujah. If we're just willing to give God our best, if we're willing to commit it to God, amen, we've got more than a sack lunch that we can give to the kingdom of God. God is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we're able to ask or even think, according to the power that worketh in us. Amen. It's the key is us. He told the disciples, he said, okay, now, he said, I want you to take this fish and this bread. He said, I want you to cause these people to sit down in companies of 50s and hundreds, and I want you to begin to feed them. That's all God, the will of God is to feed his sheep. Hallelujah. Amen. God didn't call me to preach fancy sermons. God didn't call me, amen, to cause people to be spellbound. If I wanted to have people to be spellbound, I would have asked God to, amen, to call me to be a magician. And Jesus asked Peter, do you love me? He said, feed my sheep. Hallelujah. Well, hallelujah. You know what the will of God is? Amen. We need to feed upon the Word of God. Hallelujah. We need to get the Word of God down on our, in the inside of our heart. If we fell in love with the Word of God like we fall in love at the things of the world, if we fell in love with God like we fall in love with football, if we fall in love with Jesus like we fall in love with the stars of Hollywood, there's no telling what God could do. If we were as fanatic about Jesus as the world is about their God. Hallelujah. Amen. God did not tell him where he was going. Amen. He just said go. Hallelujah. Amen. God didn't promise me any great riches when I started out, and I hadn't been disappointed. Hallelujah. I said I hadn't been disappointed. Amen. With the blessings of God. Because the blessings that God has blessed, I'm not worthy. I'm not deserving of His blessings. Amen. Jesus said, the foxes have holes and the birds of the air have nests. But the Son of Man doesn't even have a place to lay His head. I don't look for riches. I don't look for gold. I don't look for possessions. All I want to do is to do the will of God, to feed His sheep. Oh, hallelujah. And somebody say, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. If we want to follow the perfect will of God, we will be about the Father's business. I said, if we want to follow the perfect will of God, we will be about the Father's business. Amen. If you're in any other business, if any other business takes priority over the Father's business, amen, you're going to have a very difficult time finding the perfect will of God. Amen. Hey, I made up my mind, Brother Grissom, amen, that I was going, amen, to follow the will of God. Amen. Whatever, wherever it led, amen, whatever sacrifices that I needed to make, amen. No matter how blessed, amen, or how impoverished. Amen. Paul said, I've learned, amen, that God is there when I'm in want, and God is there when I'm in blessed with plenty. He said, be content in whatever state you are in. Amen. To give thanks unto God. If you're going to find the perfect will of God, you've got to be about the Father's business. You've got to be doing the things that God has called you to do, or you will never find that good and perfect and acceptable will of God. Jesus was born with a destiny that was determined before He was ever born. The Bible says He was the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Amen. He was destined. He was destined to be victorious. You know why I don't hesitate? Amen. Why? Amen. I never reconsider my walk with God. I never considered going back to the world. Amen. Because I'm destined, amen, to be an overcomer. I'm destined to be victorious. I'm destined, amen, to be blessed of God. Hallelujah. He said, upon this rock I'm going to build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. We are a people of destiny. God has destined His church for revival. God's destined His church to be overcomers of the world and of the flesh. Oh, hallelujah. Greater is He that's within us than he that's within the world. Jesus, amen, had a sense of destiny from the very beginning of His life. He knew that He was born to reign. He was born, amen, and He might bring deliverance and salvation to the people of Israel. Oh, hallelujah. Amen. Do you know why God chose the church? He said, you did not choose me. But He said, I chose you. and whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate, amen, to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be called the firstborn among many brethren. We are destined to rule and to reign with Christ. We're destined, amen, to trample upon serpents and scorpions in the name of Jesus Christ. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, I'm glad I know what the will of God is. The will of God, hallelujah, is for me, amen, to live a holy, overcoming life. Amen. To be constant in prayer and fasting and the searching of the Word of God. That's the will of God. Hallelujah. It's God's will for you to pray. Amen. It's not a suggestion. Amen. The Bible says to pray without ceasing. You want to know what the will of God is? It's to be faithful in prayer. I told you it's not hard, amen, to find out what the will of God is. It's just hard for people, amen, to be willing to walk in the will of God. We're looking for some ooga booga booga stuff out there. We're looking for some mysterious thing, some high level of intellectualism, something that nobody can reach unto except us. Nobody can understand the Word of God like I can understand the Word of God, Brother Grissom. Nobody else can understand it. Amen. Amen. You see, God just gave me just a special place in the kingdom. No, God's not looking for some superhero. God's not looking for some Superman. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. I've already found Superman, and his name is Jesus. You can't compete with my God anyhow. Amen. You can't even come close. Amen. To how great my God is. Amen. But as a church, we're born with a destiny. Amen. The Bible says that Jesus grew in wisdom and knowledge and in stature and in favor with God and man. Amen. Amen. As we desire to walk in the will of God, we need to grow. It's the will of God for you to grow spiritually. If you're still walking around with a binky, amen, shame on you. If Pastor Grissom has to come around and burp you every now and then, amen, for you to come to church, amen, shame on you. Amen. Amen. My mama quit changing my diapers a long time ago. I can clean up after my own messes. We want somebody to clean up after us sometimes. We don't mind making a mess, but we want pastor to clean it up. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Amen. We need to grow spiritually. And we need to grow intellectually. My people are perished for lack of knowledge. Amen. It's a sin to be ignorant. Willfully ignorant. Let me qualify that. We're all ignorant in different areas. But it's a sin to be willfully ignorant. Amen. It's a shame, but people will not acknowledge the truth. Amen. My Bible says if they don't believe this gospel, it's because the God of this world has blinded their eyes, lest they should see and understand and see the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Don't you let the boogeyman, amen, put a sack over your head. You don't have to remain blind. Amen. Jesus said, I came that the blind could see, and those that see might be made blind. If you see and you still don't walk in the will of God, amen, God will send a spirit of delusion on you so that you'll believe a lie and be damned. Amen. It's a shame. Amen. People who willfully are ignorant. Study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that need not be ashamed. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Amen. God does not, amen, desire to have spiritual illiterates. We need to know the word of God. When Jesus was in the wilderness, amen, the devil came against him by twisting and distorting the word of God. You need to know what you believe and why you believe it. If you believe this Acts 2:38 message, amen, you need to be able, amen, to go to the word of God, amen, and to expound the wonderful message of Jesus Christ. You don't have to be a theologian. Oh, hallelujah. The woman at Samaria did a pretty good job. Hallelujah, testifying to her village. Hallelujah. They came to see and to hear this one who was the hope of Israel. Amen. It is no excuse. Amen. We ought to feel something inside of us that compels us to share this gospel with our world, to share this message to those that are in darkness. For God has allowed us to see the light. If you're the children of light, if God has allowed His revelation to shine down on you, woe be unto you. Amen. If you want to sit in darkness, God forbid. For he that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. We need to grow in God. Jesus felt compelled when he was 12 years old. He wasn't even half grown. Hallelujah. But he felt so compelled. He had grown in wisdom and knowledge. He had grown in stature. He had grown in favor with God and men, that he felt compelled. He felt constrained in the spirit to be about his Father's business. Amen. If the musicians will come, I want you to ask yourself this question tonight. Do I feel compelled to be about my Father's business? Am I too busy to have time for God? Am I too busy to read my Bible? Am I too busy to pray? Am I too busy, amen, to have fellowship with the saints of God? If you don't have time for God, then you're way too busy. But the Bible says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. We need to put Jesus Christ as priority number one. Jesus did not come into the world to be ministered unto, but he came to minister to others. He condescended from his throne in glory to a lowly stable in Bethlehem. I want you to know that if you want to find the will of God, you've got to decrease. You've got to become smaller in your own eyes in order for God to grow bigger. You see, God's already infinite. Amen. But sometimes we get such a big head that we can't not see how great God is. We think sometimes that we are somehow so important to the scheme of things that God cannot operate without us. God forbid that we think that the choir can't sing unless certain people are in the choir. God forbid that we can't have church unless certain preachers are in the pulpit. God forbid that we can't worship, amen, unless the sound of the drums, amen, don't have the proper cadence. Hallelujah. Amen. We just need to realize how big our God is. Hallelujah. I said we need to realize how big our God is. He left His throne in glory to come down in the form of a man. In a lowly manger in Bethlehem, He came to be the Savior of the world. He's looking for somebody that will humble their heart. Somebody that will be willing to say, God, just allow me an opportunity to be a doorkeeper, Lord, in your house. God did not reveal to Abraham the land that He was going to give him for an inheritance until he separated himself from his nephew Lot. God's looking for a separated people. It was only after God separated Abraham and Lot that Abraham actually realized that the land wherein he was sojourning was the land that God had promised him. And God said, Abraham, I want you to lift up your eyes and look at the land. Amen. He had been walking in it, but he had not recognized that this was his inheritance. Hallelujah. We need to, amen, to make some separations in our life. We need to separate from ungodliness and uncleanness. Amen. From everything that would defile our garments. So that we can open our eyes and see, amen, the revival that we are in. And see the harvest that's around our feet. Lift up your head and look on the fields, for they're already white unto harvest. God said, Abraham, wherever the sole of your feet walks, I'm going to give you this land. But before you can claim it, you've got to walk the length and the breadth of it. There's some things that we've got to do. God's already promised us revival. Amen. But we've got to claim it. We've got to walk in the land. Amen. We've got to go where Jesus would have us go. We've got to do what Jesus would have us do and claim the promises of God. Jesus recognized in John chapter 5 in verses 19 and verse 20 that he could do nothing of himself. Jesus, who was destined to be the Savior of the world, said, I can't do anything of myself. Hallelujah. Well, we were destined to be a revival church. Yes. We were destined to have victory. But we've got to come to the conclusion we can't do anything of ourselves. But it's the Father which is in us that doeth the works. We've got to lean on Jesus. We've got to lean on the Spirit of God. In John 6 and 38, Jesus said, for I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of Him who sent me. Jesus came to save the lost. Amen. Our responsibility is to reach out and save this world. Amen. Through the gospel of Jesus Christ. And then last but not least, I want you to know and find in the will of God. How many of you, amen, have struggled in your life finding the will of God? I have. Don't be ashamed. Amen. Lift your hand. Amen. Amen. One thing for sure, it's a lot easier to know when you're out of the will of God sometimes than to know when you're in it.
All right.
Amen. But I want to give you a word of encouragement tonight. It's not a sin nor a disgrace to struggle with the will of God. I said it's not a sin. It's not a disgrace to struggle against the will of God. Some of you know that you've got a calling on your life. Some of you know that God has called you to a higher service than what you're allowing yourself to be involved in. Some of you are struggling. Some of you are questioning. How do I find the will of God, Brother Hart? How do I know when I am in the will of God? Amen. Most everyone that I've ever known at some time in their spirit struggled with the will of God in their life. Jesus himself struggled mightily. In the 26th chapter of Matthew, when you go home tonight, if you want to read verses 36 through 42, Jesus struggled. Not because he did not know the will of God. He knew the will of God. He knew the reason that he was born into the world. The Bible said he was the lamb slain for the foundation of the world. But I want you to know, it's hard to be willing to die. What prevents most of us from walking in that good and perfect and acceptable will of God is because we're not willing to die. We're not willing to surrender everything to God. We're willing to go just so far, and that's as far as we're willing to go. But God said, you've got to sell out. You can't love anything more than you love me. Amen. You can't treasure anything more than you treasure the kingdom of heaven. You gotta give it all. You want to find the will of God? Then die. Die to your will. Die to your flesh. Die to the temptations. Amen. Put aside that sin and that weight that does so easily beset you. If you want to walk in that good and perfect an acceptable will. It's not a shame to struggle with the will of God. Jesus struggled. And into the garden he went. I want you to know, when you're struggling and you don't know where to go, you need to find a garden to pray. You need to find a place where you can get alone with God and pour out your soul unto the Maker. Jesus knew the will, but he struggled greatly. The Bible says he took three of his most trusted disciples to pray. And they couldn't pray. He found him sleeping. He said, couldn't you pray with me 1 hour? I know everybody can't come every time that we have prayer meeting. But can't we ever have more than 6 or 7 on a prayer meeting in a church of 130? Surely we could find more than 7. Jesus couldn't even find 3. Of course, he only had 12. He said, couldn't you tarry with me 1 hour? The most important event in the history of the world was taking place. And the man that had the keys to the kingdom, the best he could do was sleep. Can Kind of bleak looking, wasn't it? The Bible says that Jesus was sorrowful and he was deeply distressed. What was he distressed over? Because he knew the will of God. Some of you know the will of God for your life. Some of you are running from the will of God. You're running, amen, from the purpose to which God called you. Amen. I want you to know it's hard to kick against the pricks. But if you're going to sleep, just sleep on. Because there's still a work that's got to be done. Whether you're willing to do it or not, amen, there's a work that needs to be done. Amen. God's going to have somebody that's going to pray. God's going to have somebody that's going to be a testimony and a witness to this generation. God's going to have somebody that's going to be sold out. God's going to have somebody that's not going to compromise. God's going to have somebody that's so in love with Jesus that they're willing to lay down everything they have for the cause of the cross. Hallelujah. Would you stand tonight? Oh. Oh, embracing the will of God is not always easy. Following the will of God is not always the way that we would want to go. Jesus resisted his flesh because he wanted to please the Father. He prayed, "Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me." When it came time to drink that bitter cup, Jesus struggled. He was greatly distressed because he knew that he was going to suffer like no man had ever suffered before. His face was going to be marred like no man's face had ever been marred before. But he said, "Father, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done." He found that good. I said, Jesus found that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Nothing less would have been good. I said, if Jesus had not yielded to the will of the Father, it would not have been good. If Jesus had not yielded to the will of the Father, it would not have been acceptable. But he gave a perfect sacrifice. Oh, hallelujah. Because he found the will of God for his life. You may have dreams. You may have visions of grandeur tonight. But that's not what God desires in your life. God wants you to be willing to commit. Amen. Not everyone is going to have dreams like Joseph dreamed. But then again, not everyone is going to suffer like Joseph suffered. You want to be used of God? the greatest men and greatest women that were ever used of God suffered greatly for the cause of truth. I don't think we really understand what the meaning of greatness is. Jesus said, if you want to be great, then be a servant. If you want to be great, then commit everything to me. Oh, your dream. Joseph dreamed the things that God gave to him, but nothing seemed to reflect the vision that he had. Sometimes life doesn't seem fair. But sometimes it just doesn't measure up in our own mind. We cannot comprehend the ways of God. His ways are higher than our... Joseph didn't understand. I'm sure that he was broken, that he was distressed, that he was totally cast down in spirit to be hated and rejected by your brethren, to be sold into slavery, and then to be falsely accused, though he was an honorable man, and to be cast into prison. Is that your idea of greatness? Is that your idea of finding the will of God? I want you to know that Joseph was right smack dab in the middle of the will of God, in a dungeon in Egypt. He was right where God, amen, wanted him to be. Amen. Are you sure you want to be in the will of God? Are you sure you want to find the will of God for your life? It wasn't the rosy picture that he had in his mind. But one thing that Joseph knew, the will of God, amen, was not to compromise. The will of God was not to abandon his faith or his convictions or his integrity. Oh, he knew the will of God, amen, was to have faith, to have trust in God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. His dreams seemed meaningless and unfulfilled until he emerged from the crucible of suffering to become the Savior of Egypt. I want you to know God can change your life. God can make you into the vessel that he wants you to be. But sometimes it involves suffering. Sometimes it involves pain. Jesus said, if anyone come after me, let him take up his cross and come after me. Does anybody here tonight want to find the will of God for your life? Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, would you pray right now? Would you bow your head? Amen. Those that would come and pray, would you come and gather around our brothers and sisters here tonight? Is there anyone here tonight?